Staffin, eye sparkling, face smiling, right here at Rosie on the House. Good morning, y'all. Visiting with Director William Mundell of the Arizona Register of Contractors. On our way out, we hit just real briefly on two things I'd like to cover. Background checks, but let's talk recovery fund first. I tell people only use licensed, bonded, insured contractors, and y'all provide one additional layer of protection. And not only do you have the arbitration process, the complaint resolution process, but you've got what we call the recovery fund. So someone selects a contractor, you take it from there. How would the recovery fund add that extra layer of protection?
You select a licensed contractor. Again, it only applies to licensed contractors. And if you have a bad experience with them, either they take your money and don't do any work and or abandon the project or do shoddy work, you can come to the ROC, and if we determine that you're correct, you can then go to the recovery fund. Very unique. It's an added protection for using licensed contractors. And if they're out of business, you can receive up to $30,000 per license on the work that they've done. And a lot of states don't have that, but it's an added protection using licensed contractors.
And that's funded by the good guys. That's funded by the contractors that are here operating in Arizona.
That's true. As I said, we receive no tax dollars to run the agency or the recovery fund. It's an added fee that residential contractors pay. It only applies to residential contractors that they pay into the recovery fund for the restitution that I just talked about.
The recovery fund. Now, if I could be governor for a day, I would have you take that funds out of the assets of the bad guys that you are locking up.
Well, that's a good idea. We also impose civil penalties. We have the ability to impose civil penalties against contractors.
All right, very good.
And don't take someone face value that they are a licensed contractor.
Amen.
I mean, you've got to go online and verify that 6-digit number is active. But you've also got to ensure they didn't just grab some random 6-digit number and say, yeah, here's my license number.
Yeah, and what we're seeing, that's a very good point. What we're seeing a lot of times is they'll have a business card and they'll put a licensed contractor's number on there, or they'll have a business card and put their phone number on there as opposed to an address, as opposed to the address of record at the ROC and the phone number. So we always say, you know, call the look the name up, as we talked about, at azrock.gov. Look the name up of the licensed contractor and call the phone number that we have listed on our website and not the phone number listed on the business card.
All right, take a quick break from the topic at hand to bring in a special guest. This is one of my favorite times of the year when spring comes and we get to, this is about the third or fourth year that Melinda Myers has been a regular guest on our program. And Melinda, I have to start before we get to the content of today's interview. Arizona's heavily populated by snowbirds.
Yeah. And
You must have like a cult-like following in your area, because every time we have you on, we get a number of people, oh my gosh, I love Melinda.
And they've all been staying a little longer in Arizona due to our extremely cold winter and long winter. A few friends have just kind of wandered back up, and I've been sorry they came the week they did. So they may be coming permanent residents, I'm afraid, for us anyway.
So how can you help us... people that are not leaving and they're weathering through the heat, what kind of tactics have you learned from being cooped up all winter that can help us being cooped up all summer and still garden?
You know, I think maintenance is one of the key things, and making it low maintenance. You know, you're absolutely right. We're locked up in the winter looking out longingly at our garden, and you guys are inside in the air conditioning looking out longingly. And that's one of the reasons that I joined forces with Milorganite, because it's a low nitrogen, slow release fertilizer. So especially in areas that are extremely hot and dry like yours, that fertilizer is only going to sit in the soil and be available when there's enough moisture and the right temperatures for the microorganisms to work, and that's when your plants are growing, so you won't overdo it. With containers, I'm a huge fan of containers, and you know, it allows us to change things out, whether you're in extreme heat or extreme cold. You can match your plants to the weather, you know, go into the garden season, see what's looking good, put those in a container, something tall in the middle if you're new to container gardening, something middle size, you know, to kind of fill things out, and of course the spiller, something trailing over. That's a good place to start if you're new, and the garden center can help you pick the plants appropriate for the season. And one thing I like to do, if it's a short-lived plant like bulbs, maybe you've got pre-cooled bulbs or a forced bulb, use that in a pot set in your larger container so when they're done blooming, they're out of the pot and replaced with something more seasonal. No need to look at those ugly leaves in the container when you can switch it out. And Milorganite allows you to really reduce your maintenance. So, you know, when you're putting your planting together, add some Milorganite every time you water. It's helping release some nutrients so that you really aren't mixing and fussing and mussing and trying to keep things looking good. And did I over-fertilize? Did I under-fertilize? You just do it once. Twice during a long season, or if you overplant your container, let your plants be the guide in the weather in terms of when you need that next influx of Milorganite.
And with that, it's not too late to put edibles in a container as well. We hear about the rising food prices. You could beat that this summer by starting your edibles in a container.
And a great way to conserve moisture, you're only watering the soil that you need to grow the produce that you want, and you keep it at your back door, which is really a lot of fun too, so it's easy to harvest.
Weekly podcast located under the media tab at rosieonthehouse.com.